because tomorrow it's World Down Syndrome Day, March the 21st. With me in the studio is Cristiana Cristodulo, who's a postdoctoral research associate at the Department of English Studies at the University of Cyprus. She's also a research affiliate in the Department of Brain and Cognitive Sciences at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And she's joining me to talk about some research that she's doing into speech in Down syndrome young people. And Cristiana, thank you very much indeed for joining me. First, before we get on to the research and what you're doing and what you've found, can we just, since it is World Down Syndrome Day tomorrow, talk about the misconceptions a lot of people have, I think, about Down's children?
Certainly. One of the reasons that these misconceptions exist is a lot of the children have a different physiology than typical developing children, so they end up either producing certain sounds in a different way or omitting certain sounds. So a lot of the people that hear these have the misconception that their speech is actually impaired in a sense where it's not grammatical. So one of the reasons is that. The other reason is because a lot of people know that Down syndrome have either mild to moderate to severe mental disabilities, so they perceive that the two of them go hand in hand, so cognition and language go hand in hand. And we have, through many studies, as well as my research, shown that this is actually not true. So language can develop to a very high standard, have full acquisition parallel to typical developing individuals in Down syndrome as well.
So you're saying basically that regardless of the extent of the cognition impairment, you can teach language?
You can certainly teach language. Excuse me. Some of the times it develops to a full level as a typically developing adult, and I have cases like that. And other times, unfortunately, certain other limitations that have to do with either cognitive development or certain restrictions with linguistic development would restrict the child in reaching the full acquisition.
I'm thinking immediately now of, for example, sign language as a separate means in certain circumstances. Are there any strategies like that that can be used with Down's children to, if you like, facilitate the language and the communication in general?
Well, they've found different ways in assisting with certain things. For example, dealing with the phonetic issues, they facilitate some sort of a treatment through ultrasound equipment to treat some of the sounds. But I guess it's very interesting to see is that some of the children, or I would say the majority of the children, have developed a system on their own. So they have these very consistent strategies that they use to deal with their problems. So, for example, if they have an issue where they forget something grammatically, they will use a different strategy to say in terms of meaning exactly what is asked for them in a different way. And what is fascinating is that this is consistent throughout all of the children that we have seen so far.
Now, your research, I think, is comparing, in a way, adolescents with children much younger in terms of how language develops at different ages, because I presume, like every other form of development in a human, they go through stages very much linked to age.
So, yeah, we're comparing both children and adolescents with Down syndrome with children with typical language development. So we start from the age of 6 with Down syndrome up to the age of 18. And for typical developing children, we start at the age of 2, which is kind of the more comfortable onset where they could produce, sentences more than a couple of words, up to the age of 6-11. It's kind of a continuation to what I did for my doctoral research, where we had adults, Down syndrome adults, starting at 18 to 45, and typical developing children starting at 7. So in a way, we're going a step backwards to see where it all begins. And it's very hard to actually find Down syndrome children younger than 6 who would have a speech that's comparable to a 2-year-old, unfortunately.
And is that in any way possibly due to the fact that, I'm just thinking, first parents very often don't talk to their children before the children can talk. And of course, if you do talk to your kids, you're bringing on their language development by leaps and bounds, even if they're not responding, seemingly. So do parents of Down's children sometimes sort of think they can't communicate, and therefore they're not giving them as much of themselves in order to elicit responses that would help in that language development?
Right, so we know from language research, from as long as we have started studying children's language, that the linguistic environment, the way people speak around you, the feedback you get and the input you get is what basically facilitates you to develop language in the first place. So a lot of the parents, unfortunately, are misinformed either by their surrounding environment or even professionals, that children would very hardly be able to communicate. So having that misconception, they might, in a way, not communicate with their children in the best possible way that they would with a typical developing child, so that kind of restricts their input. But also bear in mind that when you have a Down syndrome child, you need to start very early with any kind of treatment that would help, because bear in mind that there's issues that have to do with the hypotonia around the mouth area, with a smaller oral cavity, a lot of things that need some sort of an intervention, speech-language therapy, occupational therapy, all of these things, as soon as you can start implementing them, you would basically facilitate the child to be able to start learning and start using language as early as possible.
Yeah, and it would seem logical to assume that the more stimulus you're able to give any child, and the ones we're talking about, I think this is particularly probably true, then the better that they will be able to find ways of communicating, and the stimulus will actually work as a catalyst.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So the more input you give to the child, the more they're exposed to any kind of language, either by observing you or better yet by the interaction, either with their siblings, their peers, their parents, their teachers, any kind of input they can get would definitely help them improve and be able to reach a certain point as much as they can reach based on their abilities.
Christiana, for many years in Cyprus, Down syndrome children were hidden away to some degree.
Yes.
There was a lot of prejudice here. That, I know, is changing and has changed. Are we also seeing fewer Down's children in the general population since the prenatal testing and so on? I mean, can you just fill us in on the more general aspect of incidence of Down's in Cyprus?
Yeah, so we are definitely seeing less children, not only in Cyprus, but also worldwide. But from what I can see from the research that we have started since last year in Cyprus, it's actually very hard to find Down syndrome children. I have to travel all across Cyprus, all the cities, to actually get access to children. So the prenatal testing has definitely reduced the number of children that are born with Down syndrome. But also, what I guess I'd like to touch upon a little bit is that, unfortunately, the society itself is not as accepting as we would like to think. And this comes from the complaints that I've been hearing from the parents. A lot of the children and their families have been marginalized. A lot of the parents say that a lot of the professionals treat them differently. They, instead of giving them hope and giving them solutions, they kind of say, you're in denial, you have to accept that this is as much as the child can go, which is, in my respect, from what I know about language, actually not true. You can meet Down syndrome adults, even older than 30, that they could still learn and they can still improve. So I don't know if these misconceptions come from lack of experience or knowledge, at least concerning the language, but yeah, they're not actually accurate.
Mm. And what can be done about that? I mean, obviously education, particularly of the general population, and most particularly then of professionals who are dealing with these families.
Yes, unfortunately professionals in a way are not very accepting in this sense. So they might not think that someone who knows about language would be able to come in and tell them that this is not actually what's happening, you know, they can still develop. Well, the way to deal with this is actually to inform the general population. So one of the movements that we could do is get a little bit more media exposure. Down syndrome is a population in Cyprus. There's quite a few children, and their families are actually struggling in many ways. So to actually publicize more about this, to inform the public, we would have a lecture coming up on the 9th of April, where the first session will be open to the public, and the second session will be more on a professional level, more of a scientific level, where people can actually learn a little bit more and might help the professionals a little bit to learn a little bit more about how language works and how it's possible to actually improve even after reaching the critical period, which starts around the age of 12, where the puberty, with the onset of the puberty.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are we doing anything to mark World Down Syndrome Day tomorrow in Cyprus?
So, as far as I know, none of the organizations are doing anything. So, my contribution, quote unquote, is I guess this very nice invitation, and thank you for the show. We have another interview tomorrow on Mega in the morning show, Good Morning Cyprus. There's an afternoon interview as well at Super FM around 3:30, 3:20.
So you're basically trying to get the message out there that we need to change our attitudes. We need to open our eyes, actually. Down's kids are absolutely wonderful.
They are. They're very loving. They're some of the most loving people I've ever met. And it's time to kind of remove the blindfold and pay attention. You know, you listen to a child. Don't just judge the child because they have a problem of pronouncing words. They're pronouncing them different, you know. Pay attention. Maybe they have a problem with pronouncing, but their grammar might be entirely perfect. That doesn't take away from the fact that they have a fully developed linguistic system and their physiology is the one that kind of gets in the way. So I think all of these prejudices that we have and the misconceptions just doesn't really help in seeing things more clearly.
Well, hopefully this has gone a little way towards helping people to do that. Christiana Christelina, thanks very much for joining me.